Thank you, choir. I dropped one of these off, but I wanted to mention to you today that if you've not seen the word for today, this is something that's put with Cherry Point Baptist Church on the front of it. It's got a message from your pastor, and it's daily devotional through this week. We've got some on the back wall back there, and we've got bunches of them. And so if you would like to take these to your doctor's offices, your places you shop, things, and drop them off, give them to your neighbors. In any way, it's a great way of letting people know about your church and what we're doing here. So I hope that you'll take the opportunity to take a few with you. And if you go to your doctor's visit, you go to the grocery store, places you eat, and other places, you'll drop a few off. I will tell you, in our first service, we have a person that drops these off around town. And we did this one quarter. And so about the time these were supposed to come in, this member of our church kept beating my door down. When are they coming in? Because all my customers are asking for new devotional books. So now she's got a cadre of deliveries she's got to make. And I think that if you do the same, you'll have people calling you and asking you, where is my devotional? And it's a great way to introduce people to our church and introduce them to a devotional life with Christ. So I hope that you'll take opportunity to do that and that you'll help us get the word out about Cherry Point Baptist Church. Today I want to talk, though, a little bit about what do we want the world to know as Christians and as a church. And you heard our scripture reading this morning from Colossians. But I want to tell you that I've been sharing from Scripture that for Christians, the season before Easter is a time of rededication and renewal. And we should also be taking a spiritual inventory to ensure that we are not like the Pharisee that I preached about that said, there's nothing wrong with me. By all means, we need to confess and renew our covenant with Christ. We should desire to tell the story of how Christ has changed us because there's someone out there that needs to hear your story, that your story will touch, that your story will minister to. So I encourage you to speak up. You're not responsible for winning people to the Lord, but you're certainly responsible for telling your story. And if you'll allow the Holy Spirit to lead you, I guarantee you people will listen. Make Him first. I also talked about having a closer walk with Christ and making Him first and putting everything else behind Him and walk first for Christ. And today I'd just like to take a few minutes for us to consider what it is that we want the world to know about Christians. I don't know, you might have an answer for that question, but I think if I were answering it, and I have answered it, I think most of us would want the world to know that we're regular people. You know, we shop, we go to movies, we go to school, we believe in education, we believe in our community and being civic-minded, we're educationally interested. We have many things that we are interested in as people of God. And we are just like them. We have burdens. We have problems. We have trials. Things don't always go our way. In many ways, we're just like them. But I think the thing that I would like for them to know also is that we are like them, but we are also different. We just want them to know that we are sinners saved by grace who attend church because He loves us unconditionally. And because of that love, we are desperately trying to live His will in our lives. We want them to know that there's room at the cross for them. We want them to experience the same saving grace that has come to us. We want them to know the depth and the breadth of God's love. And we want them to know that God wants them to be a part of His church, to fellowship with other believers, to grow in Him through serving, and also to study His word so that they might grow spiritually. We want to worship the living God together. And there is so much more that we want them to understand about the reality and the genuineness of being a child of God. Yet I understand there are roadblocks in telling and convincing others of His good news. You see, Paul knew this. He was in the same predicament in the first century. He came across a lot of religious people who worshipped other gods. He came across many that were Gentiles who had no clue about Jesus. He lived in a time when Christians were being killed and persecuted. He lived in a time when Jesus' followers were confused about the simple message of Christ and tried to bring in rites and practices from other religions. Paul proclaims in Colossians, hear me please. You need to understand it is Christ and Christ alone, nothing else that matters. The mystery is that in Christ we have everything we need. He is salvation. It is Christ plus nothing. We've been studying the book of Colossians, as you know, taught to us by Marion Sykes, and he has incited or initiated many sermons out of Colossians. This is only one, but we certainly appreciate the way that we have been learning about this Christ, this sufficiency of Christ, that he's everything that we need. There is nothing else. I also think that Paul knew that non-believers needed to see the walk match the talk in Christians if they were ever going to convince those early Christians about the good news. We read from Colossians this morning, and the instructions were clear, and the word of God is very specific as to how you, as a Christian, are to conduct yourself toward non-Christians, non-believers, in the midst of non-believers, so that they might come to him. Let me remind you of the words of Colossians 4, verses 5 and 6. The NIV reads, "Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." We find there is another translation which I like to read devotionally called The Message. And it says in The Message, "Use your heads as you live and work among outsiders. Don't miss a trick. Make the most of every opportunity. Be gracious in your speech." And the goal is to bring out the best in others in a conversation, not put them down or cut them off. And we find the literal translation of the scripture says, In wisdom, walk toward the ones outside, redeeming the time. Let your word be always in grace, having been seasoned with salt, to know how it is necessary to answer each one. I want to begin with a story this morning about this. There was a baseball game with a bunch of little leaguers, and these little hairy-legged boys playing baseball were out there. And they were losing the game, and since they were losing, they lost interest in this baseball game. But what did pique their interest was one of their coaches had a beautiful sister. And they kept taking their eyes off the ball and not worrying about it. The score kept climbing for the other team. And they kept, "Hey, coach, does your sister like this? What about your sister? How old's your sister? Where'd she get, who she look like in your family? What about?" So finally he said, "Look, get your mind in the game. I don't want any more talk in this dugout except about baseball." So all those little boys looked down and said, "We're not going to talk about anything but baseball." About a minute and a half went by, and one little boy down at the end of the dugout says, "Hey, coach, does your sister like to play baseball?" It was about baseball. The team may not have been motivated to win that game because they lost interest, but they were motivated about his sister for sure. The team had a passion that dominated their thoughts and their conversation. That passion was Coach Richie's sister. It gave life and excitement to an otherwise dull and depressing game. It made the difference between what was dragging them down and what was lifting them up. And Paul tells us in Colossians that we too need to keep our heads in the game and convince others of our passion for Christ by how we act and by what we say. However, too many Christians appear to have their passion placed somewhere else. Paul tells us that Christians must never lose our passion for others to know Christ. That's why we have Annie Armstrong. That's why we give to missions. That's why we do missions. That's why we are involved in missions, because of our passion that people need to know the unconditional love of a Savior. It's important for us. However, too many Christians appear that we are too busy. But I will tell you that he tells us in Colossians 2:6, "Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him." Colossians 3:1 says, "Since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." Colossians 3:15 tells us, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." And Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." And then finally in Colossians 3:17, he says, "Whatever you do, whatever in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him." Again and again, we find that Paul tells us to remember our relationship with Jesus Christ. He tells us to guard it. He says to remember that the Lord is our life. And some may ask, how can you tell if Jesus is really the Lord of your life? How do I really know that I've got Christ in my heart. Well, here's sort of another story to explain it. A mom and her daughter went to church, and they had a good time. And on the way home, the little girl said, "Mom, I'm a little confused by the preacher's sermon." Now, I know none of your children have that about me. But she said, "I'm a little confused about that. The preacher's sermon this morning confused me." He said, "Why?" I said, "Well, he said that God is bigger than we are. Is that true?" She said, "Oh, honey, yes, God is much bigger than we are." "Well, I'm a little confused because he also said God lives within us. Is that true?" Again, the mother replied, "Oh, yes, that's true. He lives in." "Well," said the girl, "if God is bigger than we are and he lives in us, wouldn't he show through?" And I think that that's what Paul is telling us, that we ought to let this Christ rule and reign in our hearts and be so much bigger than we are that there's no way that people could not see the passion, the life, the words of Christ in us. That everywhere we go, that the Christ in us would be bigger than we are, and people might be drawn to him in a way that would glorify the Father. I will tell you, we as Christians need to know how we can let him show through, especially in front of non-believers. And I think Colossians, the verses 5 and 6, give us an idea. He says, God wants Christians to conduct themselves with wisdom toward unbelievers. Literally, the Greek here says that we are to walk in wisdom toward outsiders. You see, to the Jew, every non-Jew was an outsider. To the Christian, every non-Christian is an outsider. That is, outside the church and outside the family of God and outside a relationship with Christ. The context of the church says that in the early days, the early church believers were slandered by these outsiders. Christians were called atheist because they served no visible God. They were unpatriotic because they did not burn incense before the image of the emperor. And immoral because of necessity, they would often meet behind closed doors in secret. People were being attacked even though that's not true. And we see that from Scripture. But we also know that today we're still being attacked in the church. We're called Christians, and many Christians are known to be bigots. Some people try to accuse us of being intolerant of others. Some say we're extremists and believe that the Bible is a crutch for us to live on. They do not understand that we have the Bible as our standard for behavior. Some even say that we in the church and Christians are too narrow-minded because we believe there's only one way to God. We believe in one Lord, one baptism. And they say that is somewhat narrow. We find that that scripture comes from Ephesians, though, and it is true. Yet in spite of these attacks, Paul would tell us and Christ would tell us that we are to remain humble, loving, caring, kind, and gentle. If we're not, if we don't show love and forbearance in the face of cruelty, insult, intolerance, and ridicule, then we are not showing the world a difference in behavior. I would submit that they would come to a conclusion that we're acting just like them. And if we act just like them, what is it that you have they need? That's why it's so important to have wise conduct before unbelievers. We find that one reason is because if we don't, the reputation of the gospel may be tarnished because of our behaviors, because of our speech. I don't need to tell you this morning. You already know it. That the world judges Christians by what they see in us. The question for us is, as we draw closer to Easter, is it more important that we represent the kind of Christ we want them to invite into their lives? We want to represent this Christ with a kind of godly holiness, a consistent reverence toward the Lord, lifting people up, encouraging them, and showing them the way. Unfortunately, the world judges Christianity by what it sees on television as well. The many lies that are told and the places they put us in bad light sometimes. I remember that there were several years ago, there was an episode of Miami Vice on one of its weekly episodes. It opened up with two Christians preaching. There was a bad guy who tripped and fell at the feet of these two Christians who had Bibles and had been preaching. When the bad guy fell at their feet, the Christians started hitting them with their Bibles and kicking them and yelling at them. And that was the vision that those viewers got that week of Christian behavior. We have sometimes a lot to live down. There was another shortly lived program called Renegade, and there was a coffee house scene where a Christian couple who had behaved so badly and so rudely and so bigoted that they looked stupid. You probably have seen on news and in your television shows where Christians have not always been put in the brightest of light, but to look dim-witted and unreasonable, and especially in our day where we hold to biblical truths, narrow. I think all of us have been ridiculed as Christians, and even churches have been ridiculed. Some have been persecuted. And Paul would say to us, that's all the more reason we should live a holy life, that we should watch our speech and watch our behavior. And nevertheless, in spite of these insults, Christians are to be wise. I would sum it up this way, that we need to let all of our conduct be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. God wants our conduct and our speech to give evidence of a risen Savior. He tells us we don't repay evil for evil or insult with insult, but we repay those things with blessings. That's what it says in 1 Peter. Christians are to be patient. We are to be considerate, long-suffering with the unbeliever. We as Christians need to know when not to speak. And I know the Lord is still working on me about that. It is sometimes the best thing to simply listen to a person and wait for a better time or a better opportunity. I would say to you, if your conduct is laced with wisdom, then the name of Christ will not be maligned or impugned. The unbeliever will have no basis to mock Christ, his church, or his people. And who knows, that unbeliever, because of that right conduct and right behavior, may be brought into the fold of Christ. You see, God wants Christians to make the most of every opportunity with unbelievers. We find that opportunity in the Greek literally means redeeming the time or buying up the opportunity. The sense that they're talking about then would be that do not just sit there and wait for opportunity to fall in your lap. Go after it. Yes, even buy it if you have to. I would hope that as Christians, you would not become complacent about sharing your story. God uses the gospel to call his people out of the world. However, the best evangelism is your life. The best evangelism is your speech. The best evangelism is your conduct, we find from Colossians. It is important that we live for Christ and we speak kindly and represent the Christ that we serve. We should not become complacent, but we should become more dedicated to speaking his words and understanding his word. In our witness, God wants Christians to let our speech always be gracious with unbelievers. Paul is asking the Colossians to be careful in their speech. He's asking us to be careful, gracious, and kind in our speech. You see, we all know this in the church. Grace is getting what you do not receive, deserve. When they deserve evil, give them kindness. When they deserve judgment, give them non-judgment. When they deserve to be hit, insulted, show compassion and patience. And note the word here that Paul uses. Always. Always. In all situations, in all times. It's even when we're playing a sport, watching a movie, driving, shopping, even we in our businesses. Any place we are, we should be mindful that we are representing him. And being gracious is truly a hard thing to do. A further description of this kind of gracious speech Paul is talking about, he uses seasoned with salt. Those whom the Lord calls the salt of the earth in Matthew 5 must not be tasteless. We all know that things taste better with salt. There's a seasoning that goes along with salt that gives it something, but it's better. Many times you see people that go to a restaurant, the first thing they look to or they want, they get the salt shaker, make it taste a little better. It's seasoning. It also cures things and prevents it from spoiling. There are all kinds of things about salt that are worthy. And this is what God is telling us to do. We ought to be like salt, seasoning the world with his love, seasoning the world with his grace, seasoning the world with non-judgmentalism. And the more we do that and season our conversation and season our behavior, the more opportunities we're going to have to let people see Jesus in us. That is the key here. He also says that we ought to be able to answer people. And part of having answers means knowing what you believe. How can you have an answer about the gospel? How can you have an answer about the scriptures? How can you have an answer about something that we believe if you don't study the Word of God? If you're not reading it, if you're not in it, if you're not understanding it? It's incumbent upon us as Christians to be in the Word, in a Bible study, on our own study, reading it so that we understand the great truths of the Bible. There may be a nugget that the Holy Spirit gives you for that person that penetrates the hardness of their heart. And if we don't know it, we can't share it. Being a student of the Bible is very important. We need to know our doctrines about the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We need to know the doctrines about the death and the birth and the life and the resurrection of Christ. And we always ought to be able to share the good news. And Paul would say, don't forget to pray for wisdom and grace, but also pray for yourselves. I want to share this with you. We see today in our society there are many, many things we ought to do as Christians. The scriptures teach in Mark 12, Christians must love God. In Acts 5, Christians must obey him. In Matthew 5, Christians must love their enemies and pray for them. In Titus says Christians must be meek and gentle. In Ephesians says Christians must be kind and tender-hearted. In Luke it says we should be merciful. In Luke 6:31 it says we must do unto others as they would do unto us. In James says Christians must count it joy when they fall into temptations. 1 Thessalonians says Christians must abstain from all appearance of evil. Christians must turn the other cheek, as it says in Luke 6. Christians must have sound speech, as Titus tells us. Christians must deny self in Matthew. Christians must be a light. And Christians must pray without ceasing. And I would just say, as I read that list and hear the words of Colossians, it's tough being a Christian. This is not an easy walk. When we see that those things that we are supposed to do, it's tough. It's hard to be all those things, no matter how hard we try. And therein, I would submit to you, this is part of our problem in the church. We are trying. You are trying. And the thing that I have been trying to light up in this series of sermons is, it is not about you. It is not about what you do. Because if you are living up to these laws, living up to these things, trying to do all those, you're just like the first century Jew who's trying to keep the laws and the sacrifices so that you can be righteous before God. That is not what this is about. It's about appropriating the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, allowing him to come in and take control and change you. So it is the Spirit of God speaking in you. It is the Spirit of God acting in you. It is the Spirit of God that's emanating from your presence that is so much bigger than you are that everyone can see it. It's all done by the Spirit of God. The decision you have to make is, will you open your heart and life? You know, some of you are Christians that have opened the right side of your heart and closed the left side. Some of you are people that let God permeate you on Sunday. But when anything else comes in the way, that takes priority. You see, the Holy Spirit takes over your life. And he takes the worry away. He takes the struggle away. He takes the law away. And if we'll just spend time before him and say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. I want God, the Spirit, working in my life so that I don't have to struggle to be all that I read in the Scriptures. If we just turn it over to Him, if we just lay prostrate before God and say, Lord, fill me. This list gets less burdensome, and this list gets more powerful. This list never has to be spoken, but the people in our community will see it. They'll recognize it. They'll understand it is different. And this is my invitation this morning. It's simple. As we approach Easter, and we're looking at our lives, and we're looking at our church, and we're looking at our community, I know you, just like me, would like to see this community understand the power of God, the peace, the joy, the love of God. We would like for them to experience that which we have experienced in knowing Him and believing in Him. And we must commit ourselves to allowing God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit to be seen in us. We have to give Him control. So when we want to bite, He tells us to back off. We want to hurt back, we speak a word of peace. When we've been wronged, we're going to bless. When we've been spoken against, we're going to speak kindly about them. And we can only do that through the power of His Holy Spirit. This morning, as we sing our hymn of invitation, I ask you to come in the power of His Spirit. We're going to sing number 313. And if you need to come to Christ, if you've never known Him, then I invite you to come and I'll tell you about Him. If you're here and you want to join our church, please come. We want you in our family. And if you need to rededicate your life and say, I want to live out in the world like I live in church, and I know it's not the same, help me. I will be glad to ask God to help you. Let's stand and sing our hymn of invitation, number 313. You come as God leads you.